Hey guys, thank you for showing up. Boy, do we have something for you today. Welcome to Easy Tarot Lessons. I'm Dusty White. This is Nick Hull, the rising superstar of New Jersey and Manhattan.
Hello.
Hello. So the official title
like
is...
I feel like we should be like Howard and Robin. Be like, hi.
Yes. I was going with the Three Stooges. Hello, hello, hello. I like your idea better. All right. So the official title, hello, is what actually happens in a tarot reading. Again, we're working off of Mickey's notes, but she sent them. Virgos, right? Wait, Virgos, am I right? That's all you ever need to say. So she gave us 5 points. We are going to milk this. I've just looked over this for the first time. I went, oh, Daddy's got something to say. And I know Nicole has got so much to say about this. So we're just going to jump right in. Please take notes. If you have any questions, write me at dustywhite.net or Robin, how do we reach you?
Cardshaper.com.
Spell it.
And CardShaper.com. You can access.
What are they going to find there? I mean, I don't know.
No. It's a link tree. So the top bar is just how to access me through all my social media and, you know, Venmo me. And then.
Yeah. Wait, that's important.
Just Venmo me. I mean, hey. And then.
Hey, you just bought a brand new pair of designer Doc Martens. You need to refill the coffers. Wait, by the way, everybody, she's got a special today. It's called Just Send Me Money. If you put in that code, you'll get something. I just ratted you out.
I know. So, yeah, I like to collect things. I don't know if that might be my Taurus rising. Anyways, so basically.
Your website, what are you going to find there?
So, you know, it'll be links to all my social media on the top, all the icons, and then each tab has a drop down of how to either contact me, book with me, find me somewhere else, and, you know, leave a review. And read my testimonials and send me an email, my tip jar. And that's basically it. So it's all the information. It's bullet pointed. It's very easy, just like my Aries nature, very bullet pointed, straight to the point, no blah, blah, blah.
That is awesome and wonderful. And I'm already bored. So,
and I'm pretty much live on Instagram. So Instagram is Card Shaper Tarot.
So, Card Shaper Tarot. Awesome.
I need 115 more followers to get to 1,000. So get out there, people. Start pressing the button.
Just give me the rent. That's my favorite line from the Super with Joe Pesci. And, you know, very New York thing.
Yes.
All right. So the first point that Mickey has for us, she says, using tarot as a focal point for intuition. And sit down, kids. It's time for Grandpa's rant of the day. I just made that up. It's the new segment. Listen up, kiddies. To date, which means there is something coming and it is so much better. But until that happens, to date, the tarot is the best tool for developing, strengthening, sharpening, shaping your intuition. And it's not free. You got to buy a deck of cards. Well, maybe you could find a deck of cards. But the point is, once you have a deck of cards, it doesn't cost you any money. You know, I have a book that really helps. I have a course that really helps. There are other people that have books and courses, and you want to get a good one. If you can study with someone in person, a good teacher in person, that's the best. But, you know, good luck with that. And again, you got to have a good teacher. But the point is, if you absolutely don't have any money or you're Mr. McScrooge and don't want to spend any money, well, technically you don't have to. Look, just go through the damn podcast. Look at the cards, feel the cards, understand the cards. We teach you all this stuff. But my point is, so she's talking about what actually happens in a tarot reading, and we're using it as a focal point for your intuition. So keep in mind that the tarot is nothing more than a tool. It's a good tool, right? It's a fun job. It is a fun job. It's a good tool, but don't believe that there's like some kind of magic in your tarot cards. The magic is within you. Tarot cards are just visuals. Okay, I'm blah, blah, blah. Nicole, based on the idea that using tarot as a focal point for intuition, oh my God, I'm falling asleep already. What do you think? Like you're out there in the streets doing it every day. What's the word from the streets there, Mr. General?
Well, it's no lie. I mean, it's honestly one of the probably the best things I did to sharpen and understand my intuition. So that's, you know, and there's books out there.
What do you mean by that?
What do you mean? What do I mean?
Care to elaborate?
Well, I've always kind of been intuitive, but I never could wrangle it or harness it or understand it. And, you know, I mean, I've tried books and it was like, oh, 21 days to be more intuitive. Let's do these exercises. But it's like it didn't stick for me. I think with the tarot is there's a fine balance of repetition and non-patterns. Do you kind of get
right.
what I'm saying?
Right.
Like,
no, yeah.
Like that you can do it and do it, but there's enough of it. It's deep enough. Like, you know, they have wide and deep. It's deep enough that it doesn't become monotonous.
Oh, yeah. There's so much variety. I mean, different cards, different spreads, different, there's manifestation, divination. There's so many different ways you can play games with your cards. You get bored. Just play Go Fish with your cards. The important thing is like literally make your cards your friends. Mm-hmm. All right. So we're going to blow past that. Tarot is a focal point for your intuition. It's not that that's not a good point. It's that we've really covered that topic
in so many different
ways. Right. Yeah. Right. Like mm-hmm. everything we do kind of leads back to that.
Yeah. We kind of was like talking about it in the last episode about making it an extension of yourself, you know,
or the episode before
that. So it is very easy to be a physical extension of yourself. So that way, you know, and you're developing dialogue with it and you're developing your own dialect and language and all that good stuff like we talked about. So I feel like, yeah, we really did cover that question previously.
You know what? You just made me think of something. Serena Williams, technically any tennis player also begins with a T, right? Mm-hmm. But Serena Williams or her sister have Venus, I know her sister's names. I'm just talking about Serena. She has practiced so much. Oh my God. Like early on, I chose tennis because it's very fast paced. So she swats the ball and then all of a sudden it's coming right back. Well, she has to know which way to run on the court. Okay, that's something like the tarot. That's something you're doing cerebrally. What she's not doing cerebrally is moving her arm and wrist and, you know, what is it? Flick and swish. You know, it's Harry Potter, but same thing. It's not just enough to say, oh, it's muscle memory. There's so many little moving parts that come with practice and figuring out along the way how it works. So I want to compare tarot to a top-ranked Wimbledon, multi-Wimbledon winning tennis superstar to say the ball's coming at you like 90 miles an hour, maybe faster, really fast. You don't have time to go, I'm going to move this way. Your body has to do what you want it to do so you can like literally keep your eye on the ball and you say, hand, do this thing. And your hand's like, hold on, son, I've got this, you know, and it does its job. That's how the tarot works. I don't know. It's a crappy analogy. What do you think? Can you improve that?
It gets you, it truly does get you to think faster. So I'd have to say,
tarot makes you smarter.
I think it actually feeds my ADHD. I was actually in the study group, running the study group earlier this morning, and last week I was like all over the board and we had a new member come in and they're like, wait, I'm not that far. I'm still new. And I'm like, oh yeah, everybody else is too. But you know, I'm not going to like, I got ADHD and if something becomes relevant in my mind that I can relate it to something more advanced, I'm going to teach it to you in that moment. And that's basically how it works because my brain is moving faster and all of a sudden it's like, hey, wait a minute, we're connecting dots, pull that in. And then they'll understand it when you get to that next one. So yeah, your brain is working at a way higher level when it's cognitive abilities. It's thinking abilities. It's, you know, I'm like,
let's dig into that. because that's Mickey's next point. She writes down accessing voices that are smarter than you. So in that sense, what you said is that when we're doing tarot correctly, we're kind of entering a higher state of mind. And because we're connecting through our intuition, again, the intuition is like a gateway or a valve through which information flows. So we want that nice and open. So we're able to use, and this is what I want you to elaborate on, if you would, please. We're able to use the tarot to connect to, let's say, wiser minds than our own, as if, yes. Like a computer. So like we're the CPU and the RAM, but we can reach into the hard drive, you know, which mm-hmm. is the conscious awareness of the collective consciousness or any of the stuff. We go, hey, God, I need to know this. Like, it's hidden behind the toothpaste in the bathroom. And yeah. you go look. You're like, oh, my God, how'd you know that? So, yes, so smarter minds. What are your thoughts?
You are definitely tapping into a higher realm. But at the same time, I absolutely want to put it out there that maybe not everybody is claircognizant. So, you know, we all have different gifts and different abilities. So if, you know, you do have that claircognizance ability that you already like realize.
Define that term for people that might not have heard that particular phrase and want to know what you mean by that.
Okay. So there's clairvoyant where you can see. There's clairaudient, excuse me. Clairaudient is where you can hear, okay,
right,
rather than see. Claircognizant is that you just know. Like there is this yeah. overwhelming like feeling that you just know that this is right and you need to say it. So I'm a combination of claircognizant, clairaudient, and clairsentient. So I can sense things like feelings. Or your senses. So you'll smell something, you'll taste something. So it's the other senses without the seeing and the hearing. It's what's left.
Okay, no, that's good. Yeah, and so. And the tarot is like a conduit or not a conduit, your intuition. I would say it's like, and please, nobody write hate mail. It's like a crutch or training wheels. Mm-hmm. For something I tell my students, especially the advanced ones, the whole point of the tarot is to train yourself to not need the tarot someday.
Right. No, like, absolutely.
For example, I want you to share a story with me. I knew you have one where you're giving a reading and it's frustrating because you're shuffling and you throw out the cards and you're like, fuck you, cards. I just said this. Mm-hmm. I already have all this knowledge. And then if you step back, you realize you gave a tarot reading, but you didn't need the cards. And the cards came out and they verified what you said.
Right. And that happens a lot. Or I'm just sitting there and I'm talking with the person. And unbeknownst to me, I'm channeling information as I'm speaking with them and asking them questions. And then all of a sudden I look down at the cards and I'm like, hey, look, this is what we're just talking about. It's this, right? It's this. And they're sitting there like, befuddled. And I'm kind of like, okay, you know, it happens. It absolutely happens. Now, basically, like my thing is that I am clairvoyant, but not in a clairvoyant aspect that Hollywood expects me to be. Okay. If that makes any kind of
right.
sense.
Right. No, it all makes right? all kinds of sense.
All right. So I am not the sixth sense of I see dead people. Like that's not my forte. I see something else. And I see it in a different way. I don't see it with like my two eyes. Okay. So that's a whole nother conversation. So in essence, the tarot is a placeholder that quote unquote keeps my eyes busy while the other clairs step in and do the work.
Oh, I like that.
So it's a distraction for my eyes so that everything else can like and just run. If that makes sense.
No. That's real good. I got to mark this point off that we talked about. Yeah. And see, that's the point, kiddies, is I wanted to say all of this will happen. All of this will.
And there's readers. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. There's readers out there that can see deceased loved ones on the other side, they can see the realm right above, like, the earth plane. And they'll do a tarot reading and they'll pull the tarot cards out, and then the person's loved ones will appear. So, or they'll start seeing symbols. So that's not something I do, but it's something that I know for a fact from talking to other readers, because that's their abilities, happens. So the tarot, yes, it's pretty much, it's the gateway. That's the easiest way that we could say it. The tarot is the gateway for you to open up and allow all of these other abilities to develop and be discovered.
And since this is actually called, you know, what actually happens in a tarot reading, I'm going to give a very abridged version of my infamous yappy dog lesson, just to put all of this into context. So anybody, if you want to pause this and grab your tarot card with the Fool, and of course, wow, I'm referring to Pam's art, and if not, you theater of the mind. So you got this dude, he's walking along and he's about to walk off a cliff, like, but right, but let's look really closely. He is well dressed. I mean, he's got a nice flowery shirt. He's got a cool hat with a feather in it. This guy is not a bum, and he's not a fool or a vagabond. And I know, you know, he has like a stick, like a hobo bag, right? The stick with the bag on it. But if you look at the bag, that's a leather bag that's made by experts. In other words, this guy's like somebody's kid, you know, like a rich prince or a merchant prince, probably very well educated. This guy is not some fop. You know, you look at the tarot, Pam knew how to draw people that were poor. Just look at the five coins, right? This guy's doing pretty well. That tells us a lot about him. What he is literally doing is he's about to walk on, for lack of better terms, but something everybody can relate to, the Asgardian Bridge, you know, like in Thor movie, the fucking Rainbow Bridge to Asgard. So he's about to step onto that Rainbow Bridge, and that tells us he can see something we can't. Notice what he is doing is, or isn't doing. He isn't looking at what's in front of him. You know, and this is something with the tarot that is really scary when we're early on, because we have to look at the cards and we have to memorize numbers and formulas and all this crap that doesn't really work, but makes us feel like we're reading tarot. What we're not doing is we're not being the fool. We're not just letting go. Now, this isn't an excuse for anybody to go, oh, I'm an intuitive reader, I just say whatever comes to mind. I mean, technically, that's where you want to end up. But you know, my grandpa said in Lost Boys, we got rules around here. Second shelf is mine. That's where I keep the devil stuff Oreos. Right? God, I'm getting to be that old. Oh, no, I can't be Michael anymore. Or you know, Michael wants to know what's going on. Yeah, no, there was time. Point is, if you really look at the Fool, this is one of the greatest misnomers ever. They should call him the genius or the enlightened person. The point of the stick and the bag is it shows that he's traveling light. I'm going to go way too deep into this, so I'm just going to say he's traveling light. He's well-dressed. He's very intelligent. He is focusing his awareness. Literally, this is an analogy of what you need to do. And when you're reading the cards, and you need to have the chutzpah, I'm going to use that word, to take that step. You can see, or like Indiana Jones, Temple of Crusade, whatever, Last Crusade, where he takes that step into nowhere. That's, well, where do you think they got that from, right? It's right there on the Fool card. Thank you, Tarot, for writing Indiana Jones movies. So you peoples and me, right? We all need to shuffle, deal. And when we're looking cards, we need to allow our intuition to feed us, allow, you know, our wiser minds than ourselves to do this. And what's the deal with the fucking dog? Well, that little goddamn yappy dog is a representation of your conscious awareness. There's a difference between conscious awareness, conscious mind. Conscious awareness is your actually state, like that you can move that in your conscious mind, subconscious mind, whatever. It's a metaphysical thing. Go to mystery school. We'll teach you all about how to do it. But let's just say for conscious awareness, it's that nagging doubt in your voice going, nagging doubt in your mind going, wait, are you doing this right? Oh my God, what if you're not, what if it's wrong? This is inherent to all of us, but notice in the fool, it's not a Saint Bernard, it's not a Rottweiler, it's a cute little, it's a dog with a fluffy tail. It's a cute little dog, it's tiny, right? So the fool represents your spirit. Your spirit needs to be free and flow, and you need to make the yappy dog tinier and tinier and tinier. And again, we don't crush, we don't do, Maynard's like, Brian, open my first eye or whatever the hell he's doing. I did a horrible, sorry, Maynard. I love your songs, but that was really dumb what you said. We massage, we're walking. No, we're massaging. Trust me, relax, let it flow. It'll do it. Are there rules? Yes. That's why we have books and everything. We try to, it's like language. We teach you how to do the ABCs so that you can write sonnets, so you can curse at people, you dumb son of a. So the whole point, fool, yappy dog, pull out your card. It's a great allegory. Like it's a good mnemonic device. When you look at it and meditate with it, you can go, I understand the state I need to be in for the tarot to just work naturally. And that way you can stop memorizing stuff that's not going to work and fighting. Nicole, you do this all the time. Does this, I'm pointing at Nicole because she's out there. It's not like I stopped doing it. But again, I can talk about myself all day long. So drawing from your daily experience right now, does that make sense? And can you clarify or add anything to it?
It does make sense. And it's very interesting because there are times where it's so natural at this point that I don't even think I'm doing it. And I'm going into that like brain state, if we say it correctly. And I'm opening that channel. And it was very interesting because I did additional Reiki training over the weekend. And we were talking about like going into that mind state and mantras and how mantras open up that area. And it was, I was just sitting there and I'm like, wait a minute, I'm doing mantras and I don't even realize it, like when I have the tarot, because when you ask the question and you focus on that question and you're shuffling and you're asking that question over and over and over to get to that ding, that's your mantra. I open the channel because it's like, there's steps where it's like you open the channel, you say your mantra and you allow the energy in. And I was like, And I open the channel when I quote unquote interview the person. Hey, what's your name? Why are you here?
Right.
Do you have a question? Have you ever had a tarot reading before? This is how I use the tarot. And I say,
yeah, it sounds like small talk, but you're actually, you, the psychic, are actually, you're reaching your psychic feelers out. So I want to let people know, yes, this is exactly what she's doing. And you should too.
Yeah. And it's just, like I said, it's something that developed over time. And at first it started out to just try to relax the person in front of me and get them comfortable to open up so that we can have conversation, open dialogue. And, it's actually morphed into a, dare I say, psychic tool,
Hey, let me ask you now. You said relax the person you're talking to. Now, I could talk about this all day, but again, I like having an outside perspective, especially yours, because so far you're betting 1,000. I want to ask you, rather than my own voice, relaxed client, uptight client, lying client, like what's the difference in the feel? How does that affect you? Does it tighten you up? Do you pick up on that? I mean, I'm throwing it out there because I don't want to lead you, although no. I can.
No, I can definitely pick up on it. You can kind of.
Oh, so why is it important to relax your client versus having them all stressed out?
Because if they're in a defensive tone, their guides won't connect with you and you won't be able to tap into their energies in that manner, in an easy manner. Whereas if they're closed off, you're going to get either inaccurate information. It'll almost feel like you're banging into a wall as you read.
Right. So that was my point, is that when you fail to help your clients relax, you're saying it affects you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. I'm trying to make sure that the people listening really understand that this is a thing that, you know, what is it? It's not you, it's them, but they affect you.
Right. You know, they come out from a very, like, you know, you'll be have a reading and you'll pick up on it right away. They'll be like, that's not right. And they're like there'll be times where it's almost like they're in denial or they're trying to correct you because they're just being arrogant. And, you know, that'll come through.
You know, it's frustrating.
It is.
When you say that's not right. I am hypersensitive. I may be sensitive, but it's true. I'm hypersensitive when I'm in a reading and I'm giving everything I can. When somebody says that's not right, I tend to recoil and go, okay, I'm not just going to go on and go blah, 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 blah. I'm going to course correct. I'm going to go, okay, what do I have wrong? Fortunately, this is not bragging. Fortunately, that doesn't happen very often.
It doesn't.
What I do want to talk about is when that does happen, and then 10 minutes later, they say exactly what you said.
Yeah, that happens too. That happens too. And I'll just,
or they change their story and you're like, this is what I've been saying for the last 10 minutes.
Or if they say what I just said, I'll pick up the card and I'll turn it around and I'll shove it. Like, I'll just like,
right.
Like, I'll just wave it in front of their faces and they're like, what? I'm like, that's what I said right here. Like, I'll do that. Like, I won't even, because you know what? It's not even, I very rarely, but they do happen where it's almost like skeptics purposely sit down to make you feel smaller and that you don't know what you're doing so that they can discourage you. And it's really messed up. It's really,
keep in mind, there are assholes out there.
Yeah. It takes a special,
not a lot of them.
It takes a special mentally ill human being to do it, but there are people that do it.
So the point is few and far between,
right?
But when you run into one, mm-hmm. you're going to be so used to the nice people that your first response is like, oh my God, I suck. What's going on? And they're just like psychic vampires going, yes, yes. I don't believe in anything you say. And even if I do believe it, I can't because it goes against my ego. And be careful about letting the jerks cause you self-doubt. Okay. I know Nicole has to go very soon, so we have two more points. This is where Dusty shuts up, and I want to hear your point, because I can tell you again, I have a school. I talk all damn day. I don't want to know everything, because we need to have our privacy, our secrets, and our techniques. But Mickey asks, like, what is your individual process? So whatever you feel comfortable sharing.
Well, I just said it. It's basically, you know, You're making your compact. You have to find a way through practice on how you connect with your guides. And that's just, it's a very personal thing. And like I said, it's kind of like, the question is literally like asking me to explain how I breathe. I just do it. But as I said, I've developed a formula subconsciously that I did not even realize, that sitting down, my dialogue is pretty much the same every single time, of getting that person comfortable in front of me. And I guess my guides, as they hear, they're like, oh, there's a conversation. Let's get ready. Like, it's like one of those things, like, there's a starting line. Okay. Let's pull up to it. Let's, you know, take the block, you know, get in position.
So as much as I hate the term formula, I'm just going to say there's a rhythm or a zone.
Yes.
But
yes,
but
it is. It becomes like a mantra. And
right.
That's what
happens. It's your individual process. And that's boys and girls, we can tell you exactly what we do. And that's because we're professionals, and other professionals can tell you the same thing. Well, tell you what they do. But ultimately, just like Nicole said, you do you, right? You have to do what works for you.
Right. And this is a big thing, that a big struggle and a hurdle that I've had to overcome, because I cannot do visual meditation. And like every book out there about expanding their awareness and doing this and doing that, and in the metaphysical world is like, we're going to do a visual meditation. I'm like, people, I don't see shit. Like, sorry for the language.
And but that doesn't mean you're not psychic. People need to understand that.
Right. And it's very disheartening, because it's like you have to come to the conclusion that I can read books until kingdom come, but if I can't do something the way that this person did it, I can't do it. I can't replicate it. It's not going to work for me. You have to find what works for you. You have to go off the rails and say, I can't follow anybody else, because any book that you read, even my book, I'm going to be legit about it. Even my book is the story of my journey. Will it work for somebody else? Maybe. Will it work for somebody else? Maybe not. And that's the whole thing. Any kind of book from any author is the, if I'm talking like metaphysical work, is this, is their journey. It's their take on it. And it's how they got to the level where they are, but it's not necessarily like written in stone that that's the path for everyone.
Right. If there are truisms or stepping stones where, mm-hmm. well, you're going to have to advertise. I mean, I'm just making up stuff.
Right.
You're going to have a website. I mean, if there are certain things that you absolutely need to do, and I'm not saying you have to advertise, I'm not saying you have need a website, but whatever your journey is, if there are certain, well, you know, you need a tarot deck. So if you write in your book, well, you're going to need a tarot deck. There will be certain truisms in every book that's worth reading.
Right.
And then in between them are the genius points and then the fallacies of what works for that author. And then the question is, will that, even if it doesn't work for you specifically, does it move you forward? And in that mm-hmm. sense, it's still got value. And then other things you're like, no. And so the more you know, and it's kind of a catch-22, but the more you know, the more you can read through and go, yeah, that's not for me. Okay, real quick, because I know you got to go. I asked you what your individual process was, and then we skipped all over it, which is fine, because we talk about this all the time. But Mickey definitely wants to know, I think we kind of covered this too, but here comes, what do you experience during the tarot reading process?
This runs the gamut.
Okay. I know, right?
This runs.
I'm glad you're answering this, not me.
This runs an intense gamut. I could do anything from be feeling people's pain. I can be channeling. So, and this all happened with like in the last couple of weeks. So I've done readings where I've felt people's dental work that they had done earlier that day. I have done readings where it was a while back, but I actually felt the person's ulcer. It was vicious. I have another reading that I just did recently was that I actually channeled information from one of somebody they were close with that has passed on. So it'll be an inordinate amount of things, but it's all depends on you can hear. Like sometimes you'll hear a word or you'll hear, you know, a phrase. And it's something that is supposed to resonate with them. And it does. And that's almost like a combination of hearing and channeling. And so, and it's different with every experience. And some of them, I'll just sit there and I'll be like, yeah, here it is. Meh, meh, meh. Yeah. Or like I can, you know, I'm really into the reading and they're really getting emotional and I could feel their emotions welling up inside.
Yeah.
So it runs the gamut because, and it's different for everybody because everybody has a different gift. And so it's like, I can tell you what personally happens to me, but it might not be for everybody or it might be more extreme.
going to Beetlejuice. This is your afterlife, and that's their afterlife. Yeah. If I'd known about this, I never would have had my accident. I totally butchered that line. But yeah, all right. I hate to do this, but I have to get her out of here. You get the hell out of here. Everybody, thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. We're trying to make this fun, but we do want to also really make sure that you can experience what we have gone through vicariously, take the best parts, add them to it, become smarter than us, right? Because if we give you everything we know and you add it to what you already know, well, of course you're going to be better than us. That's the point. And also, please pay extra attention to any things we screwed up or when we talk about things where other people have screwed up. This is so that you don't make those same mistakes. I've been doing this for decades, and one thing I can say about that is I made a lot of mistakes. And so the whole point of me being here with Nicole is I can't speak for her, even though I do, but only it's a joke. I want to be, and you can put your bottom dollar on this. My whole purpose here is I want to be the teacher I wish I had at 11 or 21 or 31. Fuck. Fine. Or 41, whatever. Jesus. Grandpa. But yeah, I wish. Oh, and you know, you can't go back in time. It says no. Mr. Capricorn, right?
Just so, like, honestly, I would have done all this a lot sooner.
I know, right? I'm go back and kick my own ass. But yeah, let us help you. And that's it. Thank you. You know, thanks for being here. Leave a comment if you would mind. On that, I got a school, easytarotlessons.com. Got a free course, easyastrologylessons.com. Other than that, what's most important is that you do it. You know.
The other thing too is, you know, you say always be shuffling, and mine is always be learning. And you know, being open to it and always be practicing, because even, you know, today we had an earlier conversation, like I'm even learning being a facilitator in the study groups. Like, it's just, you know, the more you look at it, the more you immerse yourself in it, the more it has to teach you. And that's what I think I love the most about the tarot, is that I don't think I will ever master it. This is a lifelong learning experience. And
there's always
something
new. Yeah. And hey, thanks to you, I will be learning Reiki soon. So
yay.
You can teach an old dog new tricks. And with that, Grandpa needs a nap. So fuck everybody. I'm old. I'm going to sleep. Thank you guys for being here. Waving.
Bye.
Bye for now.